The race to 5G is on, and the battle for talent is getting fierce. Welcome to 5G Talent Talk with Carrie Charles, a podcast dedicated to helping you face the future workforce head on. Navigate this challenging talent landscape with innovative strategies to attract, retain, and engage people in this new world of work, only here on 5G Talent Talk with Carrie Charles, CEO of Broadstaff Talent Solutions.
Thanks for joining me today on 5G Talent Talk. I'm Carrie Charles, your host, and I'm really, really happy that you're here. I am also very happy to have my friend. I would consider her, I guess, my boss with WWLF, which we'll talk about in a minute. One of the most respected women in the telecom industry, Lynn Witcher, with me today. She is the general counsel for MD7. And she is the president of the Women's Wireless Leadership Forum, also known as WWLF. Lynn, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Carrie. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. And I certainly don't consider myself your boss at all. We are a great group of talented, amazing, dedicated women. We are here to support each other. So
I love it.
Colleagues, if you will.
I love that. So Lynn, I just want to know more about your past. I mean, your story is amazing. You know, how did you get to where you are today in leadership?
Thank you for that, Carrie. So I'll weave it into my wireless origin story, if you will. I am a lawyer by training, and I worked at a firm as a litigator in Los Angeles. But one of the clients that firm served was one of the tier one carriers. So we were outside real estate counsel for a major carrier. And I remember at the time not really understanding what it was that group did. And so I asked my friends, my peers, I said, hey, you know, what do they do over there, you know, for this wireless carrier? And they're like, yeah, they put up those, you know, those cell sites. And I was like, what's a cell site? They're like, yeah, you know, like those giant fake trees that you see off the 405. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. This was probably 2001. I had no idea. I drove by, you know, these giant monopines on the 405 and just never really paid attention. But of course, once you see it, you can't unsee it. So now, you know, I'm aware of every single cell site, and my family sends me pictures and they're like, did you guys build this? And I'm like, no, we did not do that. We're not responsible for that. So anyway, our thought at the time was that the telecom group would be, they were project-based. They'd be out of a job in 18 months. And I asked my colleagues, I said, hey, why do you say that? I talked to those guys. It doesn't seem like they think that they're going to be, you know, done anytime soon. And they're like, yeah, how many cell towers do you need? Just put them up, you know, from coast to coast, and then they're done. They'll be, you know, in every NFL city, and they'll move on to another project. And, you know, here we are, 2024, we're still building. And certainly my colleagues were incorrect about the future of the wireless industry. And I think over time, as I got married and I kind of lived my life, I moved from litigation to a transactional practice, the telecom practice being the largest practice in the Los Angeles office of my law firm at the time, McGuire Woods. I transitioned to telecom, and my hope was to go in-house. And certainly I have done that now. I worked at McGuire Woods for a few years servicing that telecom client, and then moved to MD7 as associate general counsel and then ultimately general counsel. And, you know, when you're a lawyer working in a law firm, especially working on these telecom contracts, you don't really get out of the office very much. And my history as a litigator, I was used to going to court all the time and going to depositions all the time. So I wanted to go out. I wanted to go see the cell sites, and I wanted to meet our major MLA partners. You know, I remember going to Mobility's offices, and it was really kind of one of the first times anyone from the McGuire Woods office like left to go visit one of the clients. And they were like, why, you know, did you need to do that? Like, yes, I want to build relationships, you know? So I think I've always just kind of been more relational in that sense. And so I got active in California Wireless, active in WWLF at the recommendation of the client, actually. They said, hey, there's a really great organization for women. Your office should consider joining. And the rest is history, I guess. I've been with WWLF, I want to say 15 years now. So,
wow. You know, I've been with WWLF as a member, I believe. I've been in the industry, I think, 8 years. Been a member, I think, since day one. And then I've been on the board, gosh, I think about a year after I became a member and leading industry relations. So it has just, again, we're going to talk about it. In fact, let's talk about it now. You know, who is WWLF, again, Women's Wireless Leadership Forum? Mm-hmm. And, you know, why do we need it?
Yeah, love to address that. So who is WWLF? We are a professional, we are a volunteer organization comprised of professionals in the wireless industry. And our mission is to support the success of women in our industry through education, networking, and opportunities. That's what our website will tell you. Why do we need it? You know, it's interesting, especially with all of the changes in the landscape of DE&I, certainly in the last 18 months or so. I think it's the wrong question, honestly. When you, WWLF is like any enterprise, right? Who are our members? It's, you know, the telecommunication industry. Do we provide value? Absolutely. We're doing so many amazing things. And I look at all of the great leaders that we have coming up through the City Rep program and through our board of directors and, you know, the opportunities that we have to give them leadership roles and, you know, providing them with opportunities to meet C-level executives, you know, vice presidents of companies nationwide. It really helps them in their personal growth and development. And, you know, we're very blessed to have some amazing sponsors who see us as partners for their existing employee resources groups internally, the ERGs internally. And it's just a place where we can just kind of come alongside some great companies in the industry and the great people in the industry and really provide opportunities for leadership, but to do that in a way where you're having fun. If you've gone to a WWLF networking reception at ConnectX or Mobile World Congress, or even at some of the regional conferences, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And there's amazing opportunities there. So does the industry need WWLF? Yes, absolutely. Look at our impact.
Yes, yes. Agreed. How is WWLF connected to the Wireless Infrastructure Association, WIA?
It's a great question. Actually, I didn't even realize our connection until I joined the board. So I'm sure that's the case for many people. Now, we've just recently gone through a rebrand. So I think that you will see in our new logo, it says WWLF powered by WIA. And so it makes that connection very clear. WWLF is not a standalone business entity. We are not a 501c6 in the sense that your state wireless associations might be. We are actually a part of the Wireless Infrastructure Association. So we work hand in hand with Patrick Halley, Deb Bennett, Tim House, all the really wonderful people at WIA. And I actually really love that. You know, I've been the president of California Wireless, and that's certainly an amazing opportunity. I've been the president of other organizations, but WWLF is national, and we are powered by this really amazing organization in WIA. We have really amazing opportunities that are brought to us through that partnership, and I'm thinking about the wireless leaders luncheon in DC that Patrick Halley started 2 years ago. That was a really amazing opportunity to bring some policy folks from the Hill together with the infrastructure folks and kind of celebrate the contributions of women in the industry. And we have a professional development symposium, a half-day symposium, the day before ConnectX. So Monday, May 13th from 1 to 5, that is an opportunity that Patrick and his team at WIA were able to bring to us. So I love the content that we are able to bring to our members through support from WIA.
So let's talk briefly about ConnectX. It is a WIA event, right? So tell us more about that and then how WWLF is involved, maybe opportunities to get connected there at ConnectX, because it's not too late to register or get involved.
Absolutely. And if I know anything about telecom, I know there are people listening to your podcast who have not registered. They're going to do that day of when they arrive and they realize that they haven't registered, or they'll do that like 3 days before the event. ConnectX is one of the most exciting conferences in our space. If you are in wireless infrastructure in communication infrastructure, it's a place to go. Really amazing content from the educational sense. I like to go because I like the policy updates. I think those are always really fantastic. But the other thing that you can do is attend our networking reception. And, you know, the WIA, the ConnectX conference it's thousands of people. I mean, I have to imagine it's, you know, north of 3,500, kind of approaching 4,000 people. It's easy to get lost in such a large group, right? Especially if you're new to the industry or you're not someone who's traveling nationally a lot. And the WWLF networking reception allows you to be in a room with very focused people who are there to have a good time, to meet new people, be very supportive. So maybe you and 500 of your closest friends can connect. And a lot of people really look forward to that event because it's a great end to an amazing week of you know, education, networking, opportunity.
Yes. And that event is going to be it's Thursday evening, right?
Yes.
And then you can get a ticket to that event by becoming a member, or how do we get a ticket to it?
Yeah. So there's a new element to that. So I'm glad you asked this question. So traditionally the way that you attend our event is if you are a member, it's free. It's one of the benefits of membership. So for just under $100, you get a free admission to the networking reception at Mobile World Congress in the fall, at Mobile World Congress America, not Barcelona, and also the ConnectX event, you know, in May. And you also have access to, obviously, all of a lot of other content. This year, if you register for a VIP ticket at ConnectX, you will also get admission to our event.
Got it. Okay, good, good. I'm glad we know about that. So let's go back to WWLF, the programs that we offer. And can you just hit some highlights there? Because I know there's so many.
There really are so many. One of the best ways, if you are not currently active in participating in programs, is to get involved in our monthly motivation and mugs. It's going to sound maybe silly or trite to people who haven't been a part of it, but I will tell you it's very powerful. And I don't know why it works, but I do know that it works. Nice. So the first Monday of every month, we get on a call for about 45 minutes. And, you know, if there's new faces, we let those folks introduce themselves, tell us about their company and where they are. And then we'll have some kind of inspirational quote or idea that we're kind of brainstorming around or sharing around. And, you know, what is the secret sauce? Why is WWLF still doing virtual kind of coffee hour programs, you know, 4 years after COVID? I don't know why it works, but all I can think of is that we have authentic connections with people. We are very welcoming of new faces, and it's an easy way to feel very connected. Beyond that, I would say we've got some great programming at the city level. We just celebrated Earth Day volunteer projects in many cities in April, and I'm really proud of the work that the city reps are doing. I feel like we have never had such a strong group of engaged, creative, dedicated women out there serving the community, serving the industry. And we also are rolling out some new programs. So, and I know Patrick Halley talked about this a little bit, but we launched Telecom Trailblazers, which is WWLF's outreach into the schools to get folks curious and interested in a STEM career in telecom. Not just a STEM career, not just STEM careers for girls, but STEM careers in telecom, because I'm sure it's the case for you and for me. We didn't go to school thinking we were going to work in network infrastructure. I didn't even get a cell phone until graduate school in the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, because I had a pager. I remember hearing that we were all going to have mobile phones in our pockets. Like everyone would be carrying a mobile device. And I was like, that's silly. Just get your page, pull over, throw a dime in the payphone. Because obviously, what are they going to do with those payphones? Like they're never going to go away. So
right.
And, you know, and who knew that? I mean, I carry two mobile devices, actually, in addition to my connected tablets and all the other connected devices that I have. So it's been very different. But let's have our generation be the last generation of people who fall into the industry. You know, we have such a great need for amazing talent to build the network of the future. We've got to reach into the schools earlier. If you look at especially if you look at the interest of girls in STEM, you know, they're from a performance perspective in middle school, girls perform on par with boys on in science and math. But as they get closer to college, as they're kind of rising up into high school, their interest in STEM wanes. Mm-hmm. And then certainly at the high school level and then going into college, we see this huge drop in numbers. So I know you have a daughter who is pursuing a STEM career in university. She's the exception. She really is. And so how do we make it where she's seeing more female faces in her classrooms? Amelia De Jesus's daughter is a she is pursuing a STEM career at the University of Alabama. She says in almost every engineering class she's in, she's the only female. We've got to do better. And so really excited to be able to create change and to create impact for future generations.
Well, how can we get involved with WWLF? What is the website? And then also just becoming a member and getting connected. How do we do this?
If you're not a member, now's the time to do it right before ConnectX, so you can take advantage of all of the offerings we offer there. We didn't even talk about the free headshots that we offer at the show.
Oh, and right.
All these other benefits, but check out our website at wwlf.org. I was going to say www.wwlf.org, which would definitely date me because
way too many W's.
The W's at the front anymore, so. I tried to be a little bit smoother than I was able to carry out, but yes, wwlf.org.
Yes. And you can learn all about the other programs and fellowship and mentoring and professional development and webinars. And I mean, it would take hours probably to talk about everything that we're doing now and how different it is than the past. So I'm really excited. Good.
In fact, when we roll out corporate drives with our larger sponsors, we will do a webinar just dedicated to all of the programs that we do offer. It's quite a bit.
Good. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So there's also, I mean, there's employers, speaking of corporate drives, right? There's employers that are supportive and mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that, because I know that your employer, MD7, was very supportive with you getting involved, because, you know, to be on the board and especially in a leadership position like you have, I mean, that takes a lot of time.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So when I interviewed at MD7, in my interview with Tom Leto, who is a friend of the show, he's been interviewed by you before, you know, he asked me in my interview, would you consider joining an organization in the industry called WWLF? It's a really great program for women. We haven't been able to get some traction, you know, to get some women in our company to join. And it was funny because at that time I just opened my my portfolio and I handed him my WWLF board card. I was a brand management at the time. And I said, yes, I am active in WWLF. I'm actually on its board. And it floored him, honestly. And, you know, so WWLF and, you know, my journey at MD7 really kind of started from even before I got hired. In my actual interview, my company was very supportive of our organization. And it was interesting because after my interview, I called the president of WWLF. I said, hey, have you heard of this company? They seem to know us. They know WWLF. What can you tell me about it? And I spent quite a bit of time talking to the president of WWLF about this company because I was going to have to relocate from LA to San Diego to move there. And she had nothing but great things to say. So you never know how your employer support will show up. But, you know, I was just talking to Taylor Sierra, one of our board members. She's the executive director of membership. We were talking about how important it is for your employer to support your time at WWLF. It is, you know, there are going to be times when you're going to spend many hours, you know, preparing for events like ConnectX, and, you know, our best volunteers give above and beyond. And so if you want to travel to our local events, travel to regional events, travel to national events, you definitely need that support of your employer. And it's one thing when you have to sell it to your employer, certainly that can be done. I think we offer value, but when your employer is already bought in, it makes things so much easier. We know how that, you know, support, that championship from your senior leadership, it is so critical to your career. And so for all of the amazing sponsors we have out there, thank you for all that you're doing to support, you know, your employees and their leadership journey through our organization.
And we have so many sponsorship opportunities too, and partnership opportunities for companies, and show your support of women in the industry for sure. I would like just a brief explanation of, you know, who is MD7? What do you do? Who do you do it for? I know that Tom Leto was on the show. We can go back in the archives and listen. You know, he had an amazing show, but let's just give a quick commercial.
Sure. So our marketing will tell you that MD7 is a digital infrastructure consultancy serving operators worldwide. We have provided services across 6 continents and 28 languages and counting. All of that being said, here's for those in the industry, here's what you need to know. We provide landlord management services. So if you call certain operators in Europe or in the US, you know, if you're a landlord, you're looking for your rent check, or you're, you know, there's an issue with a cell site, MD7 picks up the phone. So we provide services like that, contract auditing, things like that. We do site development, both for telecommunications and other digital infrastructure, like EV, and other areas. And then we have a pretty robust lease negotiation program. So it actually, our very first client in 2001 was AT&T in this lease negotiation program. We still have that project operational today.
Wow. So how can companies support women better in telecom? And really, where do they fall short?
So I think it's about how they support their leaders. You know, if they happen to be women, they happen to be women. You know, are you taking the time to build a relationship with your employees, especially your rising stars, understanding, you know, what is their career trajectory, and then looking for opportunities? I know at MD7, you know, of course, we like to get women involved in WWLF, although if males wanted to join WWLF, they're certainly welcome to. We actually have a pretty good percentage of male supporters as members of our organization. We're very blessed that way. But, you know, beyond that, we're always looking at, you know, investing in them as thought leaders, you know, making sure that they're going to conferences or watching programming that helps them understand where they are in the industry, and then having conversations about, you know, the future, what are our strategies, right? So I think especially coming off of 2023, a challenging year for telecom, you know, every one of our leaders is involved in these peer coaching sessions, you know, at their level. So we start at the team lead level and then the manager level, then we have our rising directors, and then we have our senior leadership team. And we have conversations about where are the challenges, where are the opportunities, you know, where do we want to go in the future? And I think that that communication is very key. And then as part of that, for folks that are called for greater service, and it has to be a calling, right? To, if you want to serve at a state wireless association or in WWLF or a similar organization, you know, we're always very happy to support that. But it takes time, it takes energy, and it takes you know, focus.
Yes. No, it really does. Has the diversity conversation changed over the past, really since COVID, right? Since 2020. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely. And so, you know, the pendulum swung, right? You know, after George Floyd and the social justice process, and then the pendulum swung the other way with the Harvard case rulings and the impact certainly in education, but then that has kind of expanded into the corporate world. So I do think, you know, the buzzword of DE&I certainly has gone through some changes, but I think that that's also a distraction. So think about what we do, because I've been the benefit of diversity programs my entire career. I come from a a working class, like entrepreneur background. I, you know, I'm the first in my family to graduate college, the only lawyer in my family. And so, you know, I didn't have a built-in network, but I did participate in some great programming through McGuire Woods, my employer, through some bar associations that I joined. And it was really, it wasn't so much about supporting women or supporting, you know, Asians, right? Something like that. It was about good-hearted people who wanted to invest in the next generation of leaders. And I think if you look at it that way, if you look at like, where's the talent, where are the opportunities to invest in people, right? Who you see are very high potential, right? Or who maybe need some guidance. You provide an environment where you can help them in their journey. You're giving back to the community. That's what you're getting out of it. But certainly you're creating some amazing and authentic relationships along the way. I think that that's what it's about. So if that happens to happen through an organization for women, you know, I think that's really secondary. It really is about the people and about investing in future generations.
So how do women experience maximum career growth and development in telecom? You know, is it up to us to take charge of our professional growth? I know sometimes companies provide that and do a really good job, and then sometimes they really don't have formalized programs for Sure. career development.
Well, as a CEO, you know how hard it is to run a company. Mm-hmm. And you're a serial entrepreneur as well, right? It's not easy. Right. And there are going to be a lot of obstacles in your way, whether you're a woman or a male, if you're, you know, what, despite your race or your capabilities or, you know, your neurodiversity or whatever, right? Maybe where you went to school, where you didn't go to school, who your parents are, what church they belong in or whatever. There's all these different factors, right? Maybe it's a skill set that you didn't develop, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there's all kinds of challenges out there. And I think that the reality is, to be successful at an executive level, you have got to invest a ton in yourself as an employee, as a contributor, as a brand, and, you know, and really kind of understand how are you going to highlight, you know, your employer or your company that you're running, and how do you provide real value? And you have to continuously evolve. And so I think that you know, for the women out there, or for men, or, you know, however you identify, the challenge is essentially the same. The process you're going to go through is the same. You know, invest in yourself, provide value, make connections, find the right opportunity. And if you aren't, you know, in a place where you have opportunity now, maybe that is just a sign that your opportunity lies elsewhere, and that's okay. But be really honest, and create those relationships.
You know, we were on a call a while back, and you said something that was, I think it was just really, really powerful about, you know, a paradigm shift for women to really stop focusing on and talking about what's against us and talk more about what's for us, our strengths, right? So shift the conversation into that we have an advantage, right? Empower ourselves.
Absolutely. I love being a woman in telecom. First of all, telecom as an industry itself is amazing. There are a ton of supporters out there, right? It's one of the reasons why we love going to conferences like ConnectX. We're going to go see our friends, right? And find new opportunities. Within that realm, the power of the WWLF network, the authentic support system that we have, I think is really wonderful. And even beyond that, you know, at the leadership level, we're having really meaningful conversations about very tough things, whether that's, you know, pivoting in an economic challenge, you know, or what have you. And I think that actually, I love being a woman in this industry. And, you know, to the extent that anyone like has an old fashioned idea that maybe women can't lead, or, you know, whatever, I can't think of all the things that could be in someone's head. But if you're underestimating me, I welcome that, because I will just push right through. So, you know, I think that for myself. Now, it may not be approach that aligns with everyone out there. And I appreciate that. This is just my personal experience and kind of how I approach things. I don't see the limits. I just see the opportunities. And, you know, if certainly have I seen roadblocks in my career? Absolutely. I'm just going to go around and keep going. What I am going to do is keep going and pushing forward. And I think if you look at the leaders on our board, you know, Taylor Sierra, Arleth Carbajal, Lauren Goff, right? We have some even beyond just our board, that next generation of leaders, Rachel Metzler, Talisha Germain, these are women, they're going to get stuff done. Do not stand in their way, you know? And so that is what gets me so excited. And I just, if all I could do is just spend time just hearing about their successes, Leanne Sippen, I think she's at Dish Today doing a STEM program for her company. You know, I mean, they just take an idea and they run with it and they execute and they're amazing. And I couldn't even tell you all the things that we are doing today because there are so many great leaders out there just getting things done.
Lynn, what advice would you give to a woman who wants to move further into leadership, maybe to an executive role?
Sure. I think what I've been able to do at MD7, and I hope that it's helpful for others, is number one is understanding the entrepreneurs of the company. And I was not an entrepreneur coming in. I do not have an MBA. I don't have a business degree. So I had to learn it. So I had to learn the business of what we do. I certainly understood sell side deployment, but you know, the P&L sheet and, you know, what are the strategic considerations that we have to consider, understanding the global aspect of telecom, not just in the US, right? Understand the value proposition of our company. And that gets redefined. I've been here 11 years. We went through a rebrand a few years ago and we had to relearn our place in an ever evolving industry, right? So understand that. And then understand, you know, what are the challenges for the industry? And then what are the challenges for the economy as a whole? You have to understand where you fit in that big picture. And as a tasker, when you come in as a project control specialist or a lease consultant, you probably don't have those insights. That's something that you have to acquire. So the education, both self-education, but also through conferences like ConnectX and other opportunities, regional conferences like Wireless West, South Wireless Summit, just start learning. Start to understand the clients. You know, if they're having economic challenges, you need to understand that as well. And then be a problem solver. So, you know, what is your value proposition? What is your role? So as a lawyer, my value to the company is not my legal acumen. Certainly that's something I do, you know, as part of my day job, but I'm a strategic thinker. I ask a lot of questions. So when I come into a room, my role as an executive of this company is to just listen, be curious. And if something doesn't seem like it makes sense to me, or if I want to learn more, I ask those tough questions, quite frankly.
Oh, brilliant. And something you said, boy, I love this quote. I should get everyone t-shirts with this on it. I don't see limits. I see opportunities. Yeah. And I think as women, that's where we need to stand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in talking to CEOs like yourself and talking to VPs, that is a common theme that I've kind of discovered is like, yeah, you know, there are, of course, there's challenges, but I never let that get in my way.
I love it. Lynn, I could talk to you all day. Let's close with information, right? The WWLF website. Let's give that again. Let's also, where can we reach MD7, that website?
Absolutely. So WWLF's website is wwlf.org. And you can learn more about MD7 at md7.com.
Thank you, Lynn, for coming on the show. This has been wonderful. And I am going to see you in a couple of weeks at ConnectX.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carrie.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to another informative episode of 5G Talent Talk, brought to you by RCR Wireless News, Telecom Careers, and Broadstaff Talent Solutions. As we advance into the future, we promise to bring you the resources you need to navigate this ever-changing landscape of 5G to help you attract, retain, and engage people in this new world of work. To access the show notes or leave a review, visit broadstaffglobal.com. Until next time.